Issues Etc. is listener-supported. We rely on you for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Now, if you appreciate Issues Etc., please consider making a tax-deductible gift today. You can make a secure online contribution at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for your support.
When I use the word spirituality, what comes to mind? I think I can guess. Most people, and sadly most Christians, think about spirituality in terms of their inner life, that stuff that goes on inside them. It begins there, it flowers there, it blooms there. It may or may not find its way out into the way you talk or live, but everyone's spiritual. They have a spiritual resource in them, and it needs to be cultivated like a little fire. It needs to be fanned hotter and hotter. And some people are more spiritual than others because they've cultivated their spirituality a little more, and some people are less because they've spent less time worrying about that inner life. But is that the Bible's view of spirituality? Does spirituality come from within? Is it from us? Are we the source of it? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about receptive spirituality, a spirituality that comes from the outside. Dr. John Kleinig will be our guest. In hour two, we'll conclude our series on the Liturgy of Holy Matrimony with Pastor Will Whedon, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Joining us to talk about receptive spirituality, Dr. John Kleinig, lecturer at Australian Lutheran College and author of the book Grace Upon Grace, Spirituality for Today. Dr. Kleinig, welcome back.
It's nice to be with you.
You say that a very important thing to remember at the outset as we talk about spirituality as reception is that Jesus not only brings us the Holy Spirit, but that he brings us to the Father. Why is that so important?
There's a double movement in our Christian life. There's God the Father sends Jesus, who gives us the Holy Spirit. That's what Jesus and St. John talks about when he says about him coming from the Father and bringing us the Holy Spirit. That's what we Lutherans call the sacramental side of our Christian life and Christian worship. But equally important is the other side, which is the ascending side. Jesus gives us the Holy Spirit who unites us with Jesus, and then Jesus who brings us back to the Father. We have access to the Father, St. Paul says, in Jesus through one Spirit. So there's a double movement. Jesus brings the Spirit to us, and then the Holy Spirit brings us to Jesus, who brings us to God the Father. Now, both of these sides are the two movements of our spiritual life. Jesus gives us all the gifts of the Father, and then he unites us with himself and brings us back to the Father. And those two movements correspond to the two basic sides to our Christian spirituality, the practice of piety. The one side we could call meditation. So we meditate on the Word of God. We meditate on Jesus and his deeds in order to receive the Spirit. That's the one side, and all the gifts of the Spirit and all the gifts of the Father. But then Jesus gives us access to the Father so that we can approach the Father together with him and receive his gifts. That's what we classically call prayer. So you get that double movement from the Father and back to the Father, meditation, receiving the Holy Spirit, and then praying for the gifts of the Father.
You begin the discussion of receptive spirituality by referencing Paul writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians, whereas you say the Corinthians considered themselves masters of their spiritual life. Explain that phrase, if you would.
I know they are he was writing to super spiritual people, if you like. We would call them extreme Pentecostals in our day. They believed that since they were saved and they had the Holy Spirit, therefore they, of their own strength, were enabled to lead a holy, perfect spiritual life. They generated their own spiritual life and they could live sinless, perfect lives. He says, in connection with that, already you're perfect, already you rule, already you triumph. He says, already you have all you want, already you've become rich. Without us, you become kings. They believed that they were superior spiritual beings, spiritual high flyers, instead of realizing that everything that they had, and Paul doesn't necessarily dispute the fact that they are spiritual people, but just that they get it back to front. It's not their doing, but everything that they have comes from God. And so he says that talks about receiving everything that they have from God. What you have that you have did not receive. And if you then received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? There's many modern equivalents to that in our time. The implication that our spiritual life depends entirely on what we do, on our performance, and that we, in a sense, are masters of our own spiritual destiny. We produce our own holiness by our obedience, and we make ourselves more and more holy. We improve ourselves spiritually. Or there's another version, which is the Pentecostal version. Because we're filled with the Spirit, we're sinless and perfect, and we can only do what's good.
Does it even go deeper than that, Dr. Kleinig, in that the premise there in those, the Corinthians or the Pentecostal manifestation or the other ones that you mentioned there, is that we are really the source of spirituality, that it comes from us?
Yes, it comes from within us and our own spirit. If you like, God puts us back, you know, the idea is that God puts us back on our feet, and then once we're back on our feet, he says, okay, now it's over to you. You can go it alone. Now, I mean, the very term spirituality means that piety, our spiritual life, has to do with the Holy Spirit. We can't do anything spiritually by ourselves. We can only do God's will and live the spiritual life by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a bit like a light bulb, an electric light bulb. It can't shine by itself, but it needs to be have an electric current so that it can shine. In the same way, we can't shine unless we are empowered by the Holy Spirit whom Jesus gives to us. Yes, so Luther talks about the Holy Spirit as our master, our teacher. And so he says when we begin our devotions, we should always pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit who is our Master, our Lord, who alone can teach us and give us eternal life.
Now, this is of one cloth, you say. It is not simply that, because we tend to think of matters spiritual as kind of the immaterial things, but you also say that this applies to what we call all three articles of the Creed. The first article, gifts, we are pure receivers. The second article and the third article, gifts, both redemption and sanctification. In all of this, we are receptive. Talk about that, if you would.
Okay. Already in our natural life, we didn't create ourselves, but we were created by God through our parents. So we don't create ourselves. We are created dependent beings. And if God, through his word, didn't keep us alive, we couldn't exist for one moment. As soon as God stops speaking his word, which is, let there be, then we die. He sustains us, not directly, but through created means. So in the order of creation, everything we have comes from God. Everything that we have is a gift given to us from God through his created world. In the second article, we don't save ourselves, but God sends his Son, who suffers, dies, rises from the dead, and is exalted at God's right hand, so that he can give us the gift of salvation and eternal life with him. Everything's a gift. We're saved by grace, not by works. Likewise, then, in our spiritual life, everything is a gift. God gives us His Holy Spirit through Jesus, or Jesus gives us His Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers our life so that we can do God's good and gracious will for us. So in our spiritual life, we are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. We can't accomplish anything. We can't even receive anything from God in our spiritual life, let alone give anything spiritually to others, except by the power of the Holy Spirit. So in all those three articles of the Creed, we are on the receiving end and God is on the giving end of things. We are totally dependent on Him. Not just initially for a sort of kind of a start-up. It's not as if God gives us the capital to start off by ourselves, but once we've started off, then it's over to us. No, we're dependent on God, not just for the beginning, but at every stage of our life, whether it is in the order of creation or whether it is in the order of redemption.
When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation on receptive spirituality on this Thursday, June the 30th. Dr. John Kleinig is our guest, author of the book Grace Upon Grace, Spirituality for Today. We're going to talk about the Gospel of John and receptive spirituality, where the Holy Spirit is always connected to the person of Jesus. Stay tuned. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues Etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Christ-centered, cross-focused, you're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Clint Poppy, Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Nebraska, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Each month we host the Nebraska Lutherans for Confessional Study, a serious study of Lutheran theology. We generally meet on the fourth Thursday of each month from 9:30 to 2:30, and both clergy and laity are invited. There is no charge to attend. For more information, please call the church office or visit our website, goodshepherdlincoln.org, and click on the green NLCS tab.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and laypeople worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy publishes Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatics Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up to receive their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com, lutheracademy.com, and like them on Facebook, facebook.com/lutheracademy.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about receptive spirituality. Dr. John Kleinig is our guest lecturer at Australian Lutheran College and author of the book Grace Upon Grace, Spirituality for Today. He's also a frequent speaker, a favorite speaker at Doxology Retreats. What does Doxology do? It's an organization that offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats to strengthen pastors for the task of faithfully shepherding the souls that have been entrusted to their care. You can find out more about how your pastor can benefit from Doxology at doxology.us, doxology.us, Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Dr. Kleinig, you mentioned the importance of the Gospel of John in understanding receptive spirituality, in particular, that the work of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit himself is always connected to the person of Christ. Take us into the Gospel of John on that.
Right. The Gospel of John begins in the prologue, which lays out, if you like, the basic framework in which it operates. And the prologue has two very important focal points. In the first part of the prologue, John says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God," talking about Jesus. And then he says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." So you have the incarnation of Jesus, the Word, who dwells among us, who tabernacles among us, full of grace and truth. And then that part of the prologue ends with the statement, "From his fullness," that from the fullness of Jesus, the incarnate Word, "we have all received grace upon grace." So the Word becomes flesh, not only dwelt with us 2,000 years ago, but still dwells with us, full of grace and truth, full of God's grace, full of God's truth, and then we receive from him everything. And it is grace upon grace. Now, that's a very interesting and important phrase. It means that we not only receive, if you like, the grace at the beginning of our life, but our journey through life is receiving more and more grace. So we go from grace to grace. And then that first chapter ends with Jesus calling the first disciples and his interaction with Nathanael. And Nathanael's astonished that Jesus actually knew him before he called him. Jesus says, "You'll see greater things than this. Truly, truly, I say to you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So Jesus here tells Nathanael and the other disciples that he is the new Jacob's ladder, the ladder by which the angels come from heaven to earth and go from earth to heaven. And we then ascend on Jacob's ladder. And Jacob's ladder brings God and his gifts down to us. And then John goes on to speak about Jesus as the source of the Holy Spirit. He says at the end of chapter 3, "He whom God has sent," that's Jesus, "utters the words of God, for he gives the Spirit without measure." So God sends the Son who speaks the words, and by speaking the words, Jesus gives the Holy Spirit, and not in part. It's not as if some have more Spirit and other people have less Spirit, but he gives the Spirit without measuring. He gives the whole of the Spirit. Then later on in chapter 6, where Jesus talks about himself as the bread of life, he says, "My words are spirit and life." By his words, he gives us the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Spirit, and we don't have eternal life apart from the words of Jesus, the words by which he gives the Holy Spirit. And then after Jesus' death and resurrection, on Easter Sunday, Jesus appears to his disciples. And it's interesting what Jesus does to them and says to them. He appears to them and he says, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, even so am I sending you." And when he'd said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." So he became incarnate. He taught them. He suffered and died and rose again so that he could breathe the Spirit into them, so that he could speak the Spirit into them and empower them then to bring him and his message to the world. So the whole of John's Gospel, from one point of view, has to do with Jesus coming from the Father to bring the Holy Spirit to us and giving us the Holy Spirit through his Word, which he speaks to us.
To that subject of the abundant life, it's often understood as some kind of superhuman life, and you say it isn't. He doesn't offer us a superhuman life. Instead, you say he swaps places with us. What do you mean, Dr. Kleinig?
Yes, Jesus becomes a human being, so that we human beings could join him as members of God's family, as sons and daughters of God. So he takes our place, he takes on our sin, so that he can give us his place with God the Father. So Jesus in John's Gospel says to his disciples that where I am, you may be also. And the place of Jesus is as the Son with the Father. He's the only Son of God the Father, but remarkably, he gives us that place with God so that we stand in his shoes and we can approach God the Father as if we were Jesus or in the shoes of Jesus. We can hear him speaking to us as he speaks to Jesus. We can approach him as Jesus can approach him. But most of all, we share in the life of Jesus. We share in the Father's love. So we don't have superhuman life, but we have eternal life. Eternal life is the life that Jesus has with God the Father. That's what's given to us. The abundant life is eternal life. Eternal life is the life of Jesus the Son with God the Father. And he gives that to us. So he takes on our death and he gives us his life. He steps in our shoes so that we can step in his shoes. He takes on our journey so that he can lead us together with himself to be with God the Father. And that means to enjoy, to receive the Father's love and to enjoy eternal life, his life, or life together with him in the presence of God the Father. So the goal of our spiritual journey is to be where Jesus is, not just to be in heaven, but to be with the Father in the same relationship with the Father as Jesus. So Jesus gives us his place with his own Father. And that means that we stand in his shoes and we begin to live, have eternal life already here and now in this life. And we can pray to God the Father as our Father, standing in the shoes of Jesus.
How in particular does he join himself to us? Does Christ join himself to us?
He unites himself to us in baptism. I don't know what your reading was last Sunday, but I think he had the same reading from Galatians chapter 3 as we did here in the three-year lectionary, where Paul talks of us about us being sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And he says, how does that come about? As many of you who were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So in baptism, Jesus unites himself with us. He takes us on. He allows us to dress up as if we were him. And he brings us into God's family and he gives us his relationship with God the Father so that we become sons of God. Together with him, we become heirs of God. We have the same inheritance as Jesus, and we can address God as Father. So in baptism, we're united with Jesus and given faith so that we can approach God the Father together with Jesus, already now in this life. And that life, that relationship is continued then through the Word of God, his Word, and in Holy Communion. But it begins and it's based on our baptism and faith in Jesus and in God the Father and his promises that are given to us in baptism.
We're talking about receptive spirituality. Dr. John Kleinig is our guest when we come back. Talk a little bit more about Luther, how he articulates this receptive spirituality in a fuller way, in a writing, a correct way of studying theology. We'll see what Luther brings us right after this. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma, Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana, Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota, Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota, St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin, Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California, St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa, St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado, Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
It's not about you. It's about Jesus for you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. During this hour of Issues Etc., we're talking about receptive spirituality. Dr. John Kleinig is our guest. In hour two of Issues Etc., we conclude our series on the Liturgy of Holy Matrimony with Pastor Will Wheaton, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Dr. Kleinig, you write about Luther and how he articulates this receptive spirituality in a fuller way. A little writing found in the preface to one of the Wittenberg editions to his works, A Correct Way of Studying Theology. What does Luther bring us?
Yes, when he speaks about studying theology, he doesn't talk, he's not talking about the academic study of theology, but what we'd call reading the Bible, studying the Bible, Bible study, or meditation. So the correct way of going about our devotions, coming to God. And in this preface, he picks up a lot of the teaching that had been in the church for 1,500 years, and he gives it a new and different twist. I won't talk about that whole history, but he says in very simple terms that the right way of studying theology is to do three things. First of all, when we begin our devotions, or when we come to the Bible, or when we come to prayer, we should first of all start off with a prayer to God the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is our teacher, and apart from the Holy Spirit, we can't receive anything. So meditating and our praying depends on the Holy Spirit. the Holy Spirit, which is who's received through the Word, and the Holy Spirit who teaches us to pray. So we pray, first of all, for the gift of the Holy Spirit, because he is the one who enables us to do what we can't do by ourselves, which is to pray in the right way and to receive the gifts from God the Father. Then secondly, he says, so that's prayer for the Holy Spirit. The second thing to do is to meditate, focus on the Word of God, the external Word, the Bible, and to read it out aloud to ourselves, to speak it to us, and to mull over it, to let it speak to us, to let it come to us. Why is this important? Because God the Father gives us his Holy Spirit through the Word. So we pray to the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is given to us through the Word and by meditating on the Word. And then the Holy Spirit then enables us to both to meditate and to pray. So we come to the Word, praying for the Spirit in order to receive the Holy Spirit. And then he says the third most remarkable thing. The third part of our spiritual life is temptation. Now, when he was in the monastery, the third thing, the third stage, if you like, or the third aspect of our spiritual life or devotional life, is to wait for union with Christ and some experience of a vision of Christ or some supernatural manifestation. Now, if you like, some experience of being filled with the Holy Spirit. But he says the third thing is temptation, because as soon as we meditate on the Word of God, as soon as we receive the Holy Spirit by meditating on the Word of God, then the evil spirit comes and attacks us in order to drive the Holy Spirit and the Word of God out of our hearts. But that attack is counterproductive, because when we are attacked by the evil one, our only resort is to go back to the Word and to pray for the Holy Spirit and to rely entirely on the Holy Spirit for everything. So that's his, if you like, description of the best way of practicing receptive spirituality: to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit, to meditate on the Word of God, to receive the Holy Spirit, and then when the counterattack comes, as it inevitably will, from the evil one, to rely totally on the Word and the Spirit for everything in our spiritual life. That's one way he has of describing receptive spirituality. A far simpler way, in fact, is when he talks about the right way of reading the Gospels. Now, a classical way of meditation was the following. You go to one of the Gospels and you look at one of the stories of Jesus, and then you do three things. You imagine the situation. The situation in which Jesus comes to somebody and does something to them, says something to them. So, first of all, you, in your imagination, using your four senses, you paint the picture of the story. And then secondly, you enter the story by identifying yourself with someone in the story, usually the person to whom Jesus comes. And then thirdly, on the basis of that, then you do something. You decide, what is Jesus wanting me to do here? You know, you have that funny movement in the U.S. about what would Jesus, what's it called? What would Jesus want us to do?
What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do? Now, if you like, that's what would Jesus do? Instead of what would Jesus do, what does Jesus want me to do here? Would be the third stage. Now, Luther turns that on the head and speaks about a similar way of meditating on the gospel stories, but instead of saying, you know, what would Jesus want me to do, to ask the question, what is Jesus doing and giving to me here and now? So this is the way he describes it. And I think it's rather beautiful, and it's a perfect expression, if you like, of receptive spirituality in its simplest terms. He says this: when you open the book containing the Gospels and read or hear how Christ comes here or there, or how someone is brought to him, you should therein perceive the sermon or the Gospel through which he is coming to you, and you are being brought to him. When you see how he works, however, and how he helps everyone to whom he comes, or who is being brought to him, then rest assured that faith is accomplishing this in you, and that he's offering your soul exactly the same kind of help and favour through the Gospel. If you pause here and let him do you good, that is, if you believe that he benefits and helps you, then you really have it. Then Christ is yours, presented to you as a gift. So, he says, what's the best way of practicing Gospel spirituality, receptive spirituality? Read, study, meditate on a Gospel story, and then realize that Jesus is present. Believe that Jesus is present, trust that Jesus is present, and he is saying and doing and giving the same thing to you as he gave to that person in that story. So the words that Jesus spoke there, he speaks to you. What Jesus did there, he does to you. What Jesus offered and gave to that person, he gives to you. And receive it then as a gift from him. So you come to the Gospel stories to receive what Jesus has to give to you. And believe that what Jesus says there, he says to you. What Jesus gives there, he gives to you. It's a wonderful little summary of how to come to the Gospel stories and to use them in our spiritual lives.
On this Thursday afternoon, Dr. John Kleinig is our guest, lecturer at Australian Lutheran College and author of the book, Grace Upon Grace, Spirituality for Today. We're talking about receptive spirituality. When we come back, Luther calls the Holy Spirit the real teacher of the Scriptures. What does he mean?
Going to a Lutheran church, you should be hearing the name of Jesus more than the name of Martin Luther.
Pastor Trevor Sutton, author of the book Being Lutheran.
And I think that's really what Martin Luther would want. He made it quite clear that this faith is not to be based on him, but is to be based on Christ alone.
You can purchase Being Lutheran at issuesetc.org or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Being Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Solid. Serious. Substantive. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary.
Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
Have you taken advantage of our offer to apply for free to Concordia University, Wisconsin? They offer 50 online educational options for associate's, bachelor's, and master's degree. Just go to issuesetc.org, click the Concordia University logo, and enter the promo code ISSUES, Lifelong Lutheran Learning, Concordia University, Wisconsin Online. We're talking about receptive spirituality. Dr. John Kleinig is our guest. Dr. Kleinig, back to Luther on receptive spirituality. He talks about the Holy Spirit as the real teacher of the Scriptures. What does he mean?
Yes, he says that since the Bible is inspired by the Holy Spirit, it differs from all other books, and it differs in the way it's meant to be read. All other books teach you about human life, and they teach you about what we human beings have done or need to do. So this is the way he describes, then, the work of the Holy Spirit as the teacher of in Scriptures. He says, in speaking about the three different sides to our spiritual life, remember, it's prayer for the Holy Spirit, meditation on the Word, and then temptation, the testing of faith in the Word. He says, this is the first. First, you must know that the Holy Scriptures is a book that makes foolishness of the wisdom of all other books, because none of them teaches eternal life, only this alone. So this is the only book that not only teaches about eternal life, but teaches it giving eternal life to you. He goes on, therefore you must straightway despair of your senses and reason, for you will not attain it, that's eternal life, by these. On the contrary, with such presumption, you will cast yourself and others with you from the heaven into the abyss of hell. Rather, kneel down in your closet and pray to God in true humility and earnestness that through his dear Son he would grant you his Holy Spirit to enlighten, guide, and give you understanding. Then he goes on, says that this is the way David meditates on God's word in Psalm 119. And then he adds, you see how David in the above mentioned psalm prays again and again, teach me, O Lord, instruct me, show me, and many other expressions like this. Even though he, that's David, knew well the text of Moses, that's the Pentateuch and other books, and heard and read them daily, he still desires the real master or teacher of the Scriptures himself, in order that he may not tackle them with his reason, his understanding, and make himself the master. For this produces those sectarians who fancy that the Scriptures are subject to them and easily mastered with their own reason, like fables which require neither the Holy Spirit nor prayer. So since the Word of God is inspired by the Holy Spirit, it inspires us with the Spirit, and we need the Holy Spirit, who produced the Scriptures, to open the Scriptures to us so that we receive the Holy Spirit as our teacher in the Scriptures. So when we study, when we meditate on the Word of God, we are on the receiving end. We don't determine what it says. The Holy Spirit determines what it says. The Holy Spirit takes the words of God, the words of Jesus, speaks them to us, applies them to us, and in this way gives us eternal life. So without the Holy Spirit, you can read the Bible, you can make sense of it intellectually, but you miss the point of it. For through the Bible, God wants to give us eternal life. Through the Bible, God gives us the Holy Spirit so that we can receive eternal life. So the Pentecostals talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, and the way they understand it, this happens at one point in your life when you speak in tongues. Luther talks about, if you like, a daily Pentecost. Every day we come to God's Word. Every Sunday we come to God's Word in order to receive the Holy Spirit through the Word. Because you can only be sure you receive the Holy Spirit if you focus on the Word of God. If you do that and put your trust in the Word, then no matter what you experience or whether you experience nothing, you can be sure that the Holy Spirit is at work in your heart and in your life. The Holy Spirit is giving you eternal life.
So this is not the Word plus the Holy Spirit, or as the Calvinist might say, kind of the Word apart from the Holy Spirit. This is both the Holy Spirit in the Word and the Christian's prayer that the Holy Spirit, through this Word, would remain the constant teacher, not leaving us to our own devices when it comes to God's Word.
Yes, and that not just once at the beginning, but all the time and increasingly so. So as we receive the Holy Spirit more and more fully or more completely, we are led from grace to grace. So just as you can't divide the three persons of the Trinity, that you can distinguish them, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, so you can't separate the Spirit and the Word, the Spirit and Jesus, the Spirit and the Father. They all closely interconnected, and a healthy, balanced spiritual life connects them, or in a healthy spiritual life, they are closely connected with each other. So we have, if you like, a spirituality of all three articles of the Creed, a spirituality which focuses on the Holy Spirit and depends on the Spirit, which is also a spirituality that focuses and depends on the Word of the Father, which is spoken to us by the Son. Because God the Father gives us His Spirit through the Son and the words and deeds of His Son. So you don't have the Spirit and the Word, or the Spirit next to the Word, but the Spirit comes to us always through the Word. Now that's something that all Christians, not just Pentecostals and other Protestants, need to hear again, but all of us need to hear constantly and to practice constantly. A lot of the problems we have theologically, but also practically in our spiritual life, comes because we separate the Spirit from the Word and the Word from the Spirit, and we separate both Word and Spirit from Jesus and God the Father. What Luther advocates is a Trinitarian spirituality with equal emphasis on all three persons of the Holy Trinity.
You say that for Luther, this meditation on God's Word is inspired by the divine service. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's in the divine service that the theology that I described right at the beginning is enacted most fully, most completely. God the Father sends Jesus, Jesus who is present with us, in order to give us the Holy Spirit. That's the descending sacramental side of God's activity with us. And you see that most clearly in the divine service, where God the Father forgives us our sins by the power of the Holy Spirit in the Holy Absolution. You see it in the service of the Word, where Jesus speaks the words of the Father to us in order to give us the Holy Spirit. That's in the Bible readings and the sermon. And then thirdly, God the Father gives us Jesus, the incarnate Word in Holy Communion, who gives us His body and blood so that we can receive His Holy Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit. Ultimately, the service ends with the blessing that God the Father gives to us, the blessing of the Holy Spirit and all the gifts of the Spirit for our life and journey here on earth at the end of the service. So you get that descending sacramental side of the divine service. But the divine service also has the other side. The Holy Spirit inspires us to praise God the Father together with Jesus. He inspires us to come and pray to God the Father together with Jesus. He inspires us to confess our faith in Jesus and in God the Father. The Holy Spirit inspires us to pray, give thanks and praise to God the Father for the gift of Jesus in Holy Communion. The Holy Spirit inspires us to intercede for others and for the world. The Holy Spirit then also inspires us to give ourselves and our gifts to God the Father together with Jesus. So Jesus brings us and he offers us together with our gifts to God the Father. That's the ascending, sacrificial side of the divine service. So you get those two sides, those two poles, if you like, of our spiritual life. And that sets the pattern, if you like, for our devotional life. So our devotional life is an extension of Sunday into weekday. Just as we receive the Word of God, we hear the Word of God to receive the Spirit, so we meditate on the Word to receive the Holy Spirit so that we can serve God in our station of vocation. We can't do that by ourselves, but we need to receive everything as a gift from God. And so Jesus gives us his own prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that he prays by the power of the Spirit, and we then pray to God the Father as if he's our Father or as our Father by the Holy Spirit to receive all that we need in our daily life and our daily service of him in our station and vocation. So wherever you get a healthy, balanced spirituality, it's based on the divine service. If you like, it comes out of the divine service and it leads back into the divine service. Now, one of the ways that Christians have practiced that in classical terms is that their readings for the week, their meditations for the week, are somehow connected with the readings for the previous Sunday. So they take the Word of God that was spoken to them the last Sunday and they assimilate that, they take it in during the rest of the week, and then in the way that they prepare themselves for the next Sunday is to look at the readings for the coming Sunday and to prepare to receive and to hear and to take in what God's going to say to them and give to them in the following Sunday. Now, that's not compulsory. That's just a good, pious, healthy practice. But the closer our devotional life is connected with the divine service, the healthier it is. On the other hand, the divine service, our service of God, doesn't end with the service. There's the service after the service. The divine service is meant to stimulate and to give shape to and to produce and to govern our spiritual life, our devotional life for the rest of the week. So the way I see it is that we have two pillars of our spiritual life. The one is the corporate pillar of the divine service. The other one is our daily devotion, our daily prayer, the family altar. So we have two altars. We have the church altar. We've got the family altar. Now, both of them are closely connected. But the basic one, the foundational one, is the divine service. The family altar is the secondary altar. Our devotions come out of the divine service and are meant to lead more deeply and to enrich our participation in the divine service.
Dr. John Kleinig is lecturer at Australian Lutheran College. He's author of the book Grace Upon Grace, Spirituality for Today. You can purchase Grace Upon Grace by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, or you can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. And look for Grace Upon Grace, Spirituality for Today by Dr. John Kleinig. Dr. Kleinig, thank you very much for being our guest.
It's been a delight. God bless you.
Do you see the comfort that this brings the Christian, knowing that one's spirituality doesn't begin in oneself, but in God, in Christ, through the Holy Spirit given to us through those external, those certain means of grace, His Word, and His sacraments, a kind of spirituality that is not rooted in you. So it doesn't depend on you. It is worked, it is maintained, it is grown by God, the Holy Trinity, Himself. When we come back, we'll conclude our series on the Liturgy of Holy Matrimony with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Repentance and forgiveness, sin and grace, law and gospel. More than cliches, real preaching for real people in need of hearing the real Christ. Christ for You and the Divine Service at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, where we gather every Saturday night at 6 and on the Lord's Day, Sunday mornings at 7:45 and 10. Look for the Church of the Neon Cross on I-55 between exits 30 and 33. Find us on the web, stpaullutheranchurchhamel.org. St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, where there is the forgiveness of sins, life and salvation for the people of God.
Are you interested in Lutheran education? Join the Consortium for Classical Lutheran Education at a unique conference, July 19 through 21, 2016, on the campus of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Speakers include the Reverend Dr. Scott Ashman, Dr. Angus Manouge, Dr. Jean Edward Veith, the Reverend Dr. Thomas Korchak. Visit ccle.org for more information. That's ccle.org.